had finally come to fruition. The promises that had been made, the stories that had been passed down, finally had come to pass. Turn to Joshua chapter 4 with me this morning. What do these stones mean? Whoever put the flowers up here this morning, I don't try not to hurt your feelings, but I purposely didn't want the flowers up here this morning because I didn't want the focus on the flowers. Joshua chapter number 4. What do these stones mean? And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua. And this is what the Lord said. Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men which he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now these stones, of course, are not the ones that came over Jordan. God specifically told Joshua, Joshua, I want you to pick one man from each tribe, and as they go through Jordan, as they cross over the river, I want them to pick a stone. And I want them to take a stone, and I want them to place them on the other side of Jordan. And I want them to be piled up so that when the people cross Jordan, they're going to see these stones. And it's going to be a significance of what I have done for the children of Israel. And then later on, as generation passes, as the children ask, what do these stones mean? You can tell them how God had taken care of the children of Israel. See, for many, many decades, God had been promising the children of Israel a promised land. And said, I've set up a place for you. I'm going to get you out of Egypt. And when I get you out of Egypt, I've got a place prepared for you. All you've got to do is go. Trust me. Just go. Sure enough, God did the 10 plagues in Egypt, and we know about the book of Exodus talks about that. We know how God led them out of Israel. He provided the perfect lamb and put it above the doorpost, and the death angel passed over, and they left Egypt, and they're headed towards the promised land. And we also see how God told them, hey, this land is going to be yours. And so Moses sent 12 spies into the land. They crossed over the river Jordan. When they went into Jordan, they spied and they saw everything that God had promised. They came back and they gave the report, but the problem was 10 of them said, we can't do this. It's too great of a task. There's no way that we can do this. They're giant people with giant cities, and we can't do this. Two of the men, Joshua, which was one of them, said, yes, we can. But he says, we can't do it on our own. God can do it because he promised he would do it. So who did the people listen to? From the story, we know that they listened to the 10 spies instead. And they said, woe is me, we can't do it. The other two spies said, yes, we can, God said it. And the other people said, no, we can't. So the whole nation of Israel believed the 10 over the 2. And so we know the story that for 40 years then, the people wandered in the desert. They wandered in the desert for 40 years because they did not believe that God said he could do what he promised to do. Brothers and sisters, if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If God says that He can do it, He will do it. The promises that God has made can be counted on, not just for today, but for eternity. And so finally, it says here in Joshua chapter 4, they had finally, that generation that had said, no, we can't do it, we can't cross over, that generation had finally died. And now here they are getting ready to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And Joshua tells them, I want one man from each tribe. Get a stone. When they cross over in front of the ark, because the water's been held back, I want them to pile up these stones so that the children may know what God did. What do these stones mean? Moms and dads, grandmas, grandparents, children, what do these stones mean to you? Are they simply just pieces of concrete that I brought in here? I hope not, because I hope they're a reminder of what God has done and God is going to do. What do these stones mean? Are we teaching our children the precepts, the promises, the principles of what God's Word clearly teaches us? Or have we forgotten what the stones mean? The breakdown of the family and the breakdown of the churches and the breakdown of our country has come because we have forgotten the meaning of the stones. We've forgotten that. So I want us to remember this morning, not only to remember the men and women who've given their life for our country, which is important, but not as important as what God has done for us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. What do these stones mean? So look with me, if you would, at Joshua chapter 4. We'll continue on. So they did that. They placed the stones as He told them to. Verse number 8. It says, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. And he took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and he carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. In addition to that, Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there they are unto this day. So not only did the men take one stone representing its tribe, Joshua himself took a stone and put it in the middle of the River Jordan. Verse number 10. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan. They stood on the dry ground because the river was held back until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Jordan, and the people hasted and passed over. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I thought that was the Red Sea that God parted. Yes, it was. That was for them to get out of Egypt. But they had to cross over Jordan. There were no bridges to cross over Jordan. So how were they going to get across Jordan? God parted Jordan also. And as the men carrying the ark were proceeding into the promised land, and as they did this, the waters parted and the land became dry. Joshua walked out in front of them, got the 12 stones, and put them in the middle of the river. And then they began to cross. And the children of Israel, verse 12, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. And about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And God spoke unto Joshua, and this is what he said, command the priests that bear the ark of testimony that they come up out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped in Gilgal in the east border of Jordan. So when all the people passed over that God intended to pass over, and as soon as the priest that bore the ark left, the water went right back. See, here's the significance of that. This was not just some kind of a natural phenomenon. This was not just a happen, a storm came along and parted the water. No, God did this. Now, here's why it's so important, brothers and sisters. We are being attacked every single day. This is being attacked every single day, saying that this is just simply a book of writings, that this is just a fairy tale, that these things really didn't happen. We are being told and we are being taught through the media and through the school systems and through all these different things that this is not even a relevant book anymore. It's for old people. Matter of fact, it's for past generations and has no application to today's life. May I tell you, this is a real and living book. This is the Word of God. This is not a Word of God. This is the Word of God. And you, I believe it. I believe all these things happen because God said it happened. But the problem is, we're forgetting to tell our children about the stones. I can imagine several decades after this event took place. And I can imagine a grandfather or a father walking with their child, their grandchild, their son, their daughter, walking and seeing the pile of stones in Gilgal. And the grandson or the granddaughter or the daughter or the son saying, "Papa, what do those stones mean? Why are the stones gathered up like that?" And the grandfather or the father told them about the mighty things God had done. Let me ask you, parents, grandparents, have you told your children the mighty things that God has done? Has that been a priority in your life? Or are we too busy talking about our jobs and our hobbies and the sports and all these different things? What is the emphasis that we have on our lives today? Are we speaking about what God has done and what He is doing and what He's going to do? Or have we ignored it and just pushed it aside because it's no longer socially acceptable? May I tell you, what do these stones mean? They mean that God Almighty is alive. They mean that God has done what He has promised. It means that God is soon to return. Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. It means that one day Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth just like He said. That's what they mean. Now, can we go over to Israel and find this pile of stones? I don't know. It's been several decades, thousands of years since this took place. I don't know. But you know what? It could still be there. But it's not these stones that are so important. It's this that's so important. We've got to teach our children what this is. We've got to teach our nation what this means. We've got to teach our nation what took place on the cross. Jesus Christ dying for our sins. Go to Romans chapter 8 for me, if you would, real quick. Romans chapter 8. What do we need to know? What do our children need to know? What does this world need to know? Here's what I believe we need to help them understand. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Jesus came and died for our sins. We need to constantly be reminded of that. We say, "Brother Brian, how do we know that? We didn't see it happen. And how do we know that this story about the stones really took place?" By faith, we believe what God said. If you can't believe the story of the stones, then what else in the Bible is wrong? Did Jesus really die? Was there someone named Jesus? Was there really all these events that took place? I don't know. I think those are just allegory, Brother Brian. I think those are just stories made up to try to keep us in line. Oh, brothers and sisters, I firmly believe the story of the stones. I firmly believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was God 100%. I firmly believe that He walked this earth for 33 years. I firmly believe that He died on an old rugged cross for my sins and for your sins. I firmly believe that He was buried, and I firmly believe that He rose again. What do these stones mean? They mean that God said it, God did it, and He's going to do it. That's what they mean. And what has happened in our world is that we have forgotten the significance of the stones. Let me see the next slide, Brother Terry, if you wouldn't mind showing that. Here's something else that we have failed to remember. A father with a couple of children, maybe two girls, walking in a cemetery. "Daddy, what do these stones mean?" "Well, they mean that a man or woman had died giving their life for the freedoms we have as Americans." You know why we as Americans are going through the convulsions that we're going through right now? Not only because we've turned against God, but we've forgotten what these stones mean. We've got people questioning our military. We've got people saying, "Oh, no, it's not important. We need to..." No, we have forgotten what men and women have died to make our country free. That's what Memorial Day is all about, remembering that. So as you're walking through the cemetery, explain to them, what do these stones really mean? But let me show you the most important stone. Next slide, please. This one. Look at Luke chapter 24 with me real quick. What does this stone mean? Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 talks about this stone. Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they," the women, "they came upon the sepulcher." What sepulcher? The one where Jesus was buried. "And they came upon the sepulcher, upon the gravesite, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." So other people were accompanying them. "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." They came that early Sunday morning expecting to find a body. The stone had rolled in front of the sepulcher. It had been placed there. It had been sealed there. It had been made so that nobody could move it. Other portions of Scripture tell us that a Roman guard was set around it to keep people out so that nobody could get in. That stone represents separation. They couldn't get in trying to keep the body of God inside of a tomb. But here's the wonderful thing that took place that morning. As they came to prepare the body, this stone was rolled away. Who rolled that stone away? Was it the Roman soldiers? Well, no, of course not. They had fallen, they had fainted, it says. Was it the women who came to prepare the body? Well, no, because it says when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. Maybe it was Jesus. Maybe he woke up from his slumber, his extreme loss of blood, and maybe perhaps he was just revived, and he woke up, and he somehow got behind that stone and rolled it away himself. No. Who rolled that stone away? God used the angels to roll that stone away. And why'd they roll that stone away? So that Jesus could get out? Absolutely not. He rolled that stone away so that they could see that Jesus wasn't there. Because look at the very next verse. And they entered in and they found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, who? Not the angels, the women who came. They were afraid and they bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. What does this stone mean? That stone means that the tomb is empty. What's so significant about that? Our Savior lives. And because he lives, we also live because of what he has done for us. That's what that stone means. The empty tomb doesn't contain a body. The empty tomb is empty because our Savior is alive at this very moment, making intercession for us. Not only with his prayers, but with his precious blood. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, these stones should mean something to you. They should mean about what God had done for the children of Israel. Had God had kept his promises for the children of Israel. It gives me hope knowing that God kept his promises to Israel. And he's going to keep his promises for Israel. But you know why it's even more significant? Because God kept those promises. He's going to keep the promises he's made to you and me about our tomorrow. We ought to remember the stones in the graveyards. We ought to honor the men and women who have died defending our country. We ought to honor them. But brothers and sisters, the most important stone is that one that was rolled away, revealing that our Savior lives. So enjoy your barbecues and your lake time and all the family events. Enjoy them. Celebrate. It's okay. But remember the reason. Remember the reason that we celebrate this weekend. But you know what? Every day we need to remember the reason we have eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. The stone was rolled away. And you say, Brother Brian, you're kind of getting fanatical on us now. Do you really think that we ought to believe these things? For without faith, it's impossible to please him, the book says. I believe it. I believe the stones in Gilgal. And I believe that stone rolled away. How about you? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you asked God to forgive you? Have you asked God to Jesus Christ to be your Savior for eternal life? Have you done that? Then that means the world to you. My Savior lives. And not only just to give me hope for today, to give me hope for tomorrow. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. My Savior lives. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. What do these stones mean? What do they mean to you? Those stones that were taken from the River Jordan, do they mean something to you? They ought to mean that God kept His promise. The stones that you find in the graveyard, do they mean something to you? They ought to, because they represent what's been done for us as Americans. But brothers and sisters, that stone that was rolled away, that ought to mean a whole lot more to you, because that means that Jesus Christ is alive. Heavenly Father, You know our needs this morning. You know what's in our hearts. God, I know that we need to take advantage of these 3 days and rest and relax and spend time with our families, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God, I think that we as a country, we as a nation, we as a state, as a city, maybe even as a church and as a family, we have forgotten the real reality of why these stones are here. Lord, have we forgotten the sacrifices that have been made for our country, the men and women who have died? We want to honor them this weekend. We want to remember the sacrifices. But God, even more than that, we need to remember what You have done for us. You sent Your Son Jesus to die for our sins. In our place, the just for the unjust. Remind us about that, Father, and help us to live so that others may know that also. May we tell our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, just how important that empty tomb really is. Help us to remember the stones and the reason for them. In Christ's precious name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ms. Doris is going to play. If you have a need on your heart this morning, something that's just there and you need to come pray about it, I invite you to come. If there's something else going on, you want to join the church or whatever, I invite you to come this morning. I invite you to come.